Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for the take with James Strebel.
My daughter's like me, and she gets all over her face and stuff.
The take with James Strebel.
Shut up! Shut up! Suck!
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Wasn't the story that he'd be open to a return to the NBA? Is that what it was? Now I've lost you again. What are you doing?
Hang on, Dave. We're having some technical difficulties.
Process it. Say okay. This is what happens.
Give me a second. I'm going to shoot a break. I'll be right back.
What delightful sound to start the show. We got Dave Buzz Baker on the Diener Show having issues with the audio. Couldn't hear Drew Diener. Drew Diener couldn't hear him. So Process did what Process should have done. He threw the break and just left a confused Buzz Baker hanging on there. It's The Take. I'm James Strebel. Mitchell Hannigan in with me today.
Mitchell Hannigan.
And we've got you for the next 3 hours, 3 to 6, here on ESPN 680 105.7. We've got a lot to discuss today. I mean, it's the Friday before Father's Day. We're going to have little John Hale from the Courier-Journal on about 4:20 after a U.S. Open update. We'll have those throughout the show as well. I have a list of topics, Mitch. It's a sheet of lies. It's very sports heavy. I don't know what else to say about that.
I can't wait to get into your sheet of lies.
Oh, it's pretty good. I mean, I've got, let's see here, 2, 4, 6. I've got like 10 bullet points here on top of my Father's Day tips as well. So, you know, there's plenty to talk about. I may have a co-host. I may not have a co-host. We'll see what happens as the day goes on. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. That's the best way to reach the show. And then Friday means Hightower Men's Clinic mixtape. That will be coming up about what, Mitch? 525, 530-ish? And you're feeling pretty good about it. You're out back there putting on the finishing touches of the mixtape. I tell you what, the mixtape should be a banger this week. It should be a banger. Between Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I feel like Mark Blankenbaker, he's going to be the star. Am I wrong about that?
Well, he's here, by the way. Did you say hi to your boy, Blank?
I didn't know he was here. I saw Biscuit. Now, I was talking to Biscuit in the hall. He was stealing a little chicken wing from the fridge. Then he took a little bit of Bear Nose pizza from the break room. So, no, I did not see one U of L sheriff.
You'll have to meet the star when we go to break.
Yes, I will. I'll have to meet the star when we go to the break. I did see Jack Grossman. I did see the process. So I've seen everybody in the building today except for Mark Blankenbaker, which should be an interesting face-to-face meeting if that does happen. So
you know more about this than I do.
What's that?
Who's like the fifth in command, like for the United States? Like there's the president.
Oh my
gosh. You know, if the president, something happens to the president, it goes to the vice president. Something happens to the vice president. I don't know. It goes
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House. Who's like fifth on that list?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. I know the line of succession goes president, vice president, speaker of the house. Then I don't know after that. That may be something that the text line can help us out with. 437-968.
That was me today. And I know no one cares, but my day has been absolute hell today.
Because you told me that earlier.
There's no one here.
No.
Andy's out, our program director. Pat is down in Nashville doing produce things in Nashville.
Yeah.
So our assistant program director out. Nick's not here. And there's no one here. So I show up to work today, and it's just me and Process and Issel and Pratt.
So you're in charge.
I guess. So I don't know if there's going to be a power struggle between me and Process, but we kind of tag team today to get everything done today. It's just been hell. But, yeah, so.
Well, good news is it is a Friday. So at least if it's going to be a bad day, at least it's a Friday. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you've been here longer than Process, correct?
I guess. I don't know. I feel we both interned at the same time.
Okay, so I think you were full-time before him, so I'd give the nod to you. Texture says Secretary of State is fifth in line. Now, see, if Biscuit were around here, as he is, but he's not in the room, he would have known that, right? I mean, Biscuit, king of trivia, the mighty, mighty biggest right. Biscuit himself, he should have known that. He goes to sleep thinking about the presidential line of succession. That's what he does. When he falls asleep at night, he's like, okay, so if Joe Biden can't do it, then it's Kamala Harris, and then it's Nancy
Sleepy
Pelosi.
Joe.
Yep, Sleepy Joe. number five. Okay, another texter says, let's see if it's the same. Number five, the line to presidential succession is the UofL sheriff. Oh, good, good. Because that's what we
that's
need.
That's where our country is.
We need. You know what?
They're doing a trivia segment over on 939 today. You think he's not going to cheat because he's in studio.
He's
today.
In studio. He can't cheat. He's in studio today. I tell you what. I wish I could film. I could. The face to face that Mark Blankenbaker and I are going to have. By the way, it's hot as hell in the studio. But when we take our first
you
break,
mean turn air on, big guy.
Yes, okay. It's 77 degrees. I'm fat. I'm sweaty. There's no way around it that 77 degrees isn't going to work. So Mitch is going to turn the air down for me, which I appreciate. All right, things that I want to get to today. Keytrell Clark, University of Louisville secondary, had a tweet last night about national name, image, likeness that I want to get to. I didn't get to this yesterday, but I still want to talk about it today. The McCaffrey brothers go after Scott Frost. So I think it's become known now that the University of Louisville, even though their quarterback room isn't what you'd call up to par, I do think they may have dodged something with Luke McCaffrey here. So I really think that is the case with that. We have a tweet about most sensitive Twitter accounts for every Power 5 fan base. And I got some other things here. I got a hot take on Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. We can get to that.
Do you now?
Oh, I got a hot take. I got a hot take. And people probably disagree with me, but I don't care. It's definitely a hot take. But that's not where I want to start today. I want to start with this. I was combing through the internet today, trying to drum up topics, things that I want to discuss, things that I know, Mitch, you could discuss with me as well. And one of the things that I came across was the Sports Illustrated Final High School Rankings. That's one of the things that I came. So I was like, you know what? Come across this. I want to see where everybody finishes. One of the interesting things to me was where the Kentucky guards that were targeted but didn't go to UK finished. I found that to be very interesting. So if you look at the high school rankings for Sports Illustrated Final, you got number 12, that's Kentucky's highest commit, Ty Washington. Number 15, Damian Collins. Number 34 was Bryce Hopkins. Those were the three Kentucky commits, 12, 15, 34. Louisville had two on the list, Mitch. This is their top 99. Number 81, Roosevelt Wheeler, your boy Roosevelt Wheeler, who you love, and Chris Mack love. Chris Mack came on the radio on the Diener show and kind of teased everybody with the man-like body of Roosevelt Wheeler, or Reggie Wheeler, however you want it. And then the other recruit for Louisville that was on this list was Mike James. He was number 83. So I said yesterday that the sweet spot for Chris Mack was around 65, maybe pushed that back a little bit. Actually, Freed Shepherd stuck around the 50s and 60s. That's a pretty highly rated recruit for Chris Mack. And again, that's not a dig at Chris Mack. That's just kind of where he's living right now in the recruit rankings. And of course, you know, Louisville fans excited about Roosevelt Wheeler, excited about Mike James. Louisville fans think both guys could, in fact, impact the team this season. Here's what I found interesting. There were three guards, Mitch, three point guards that Kentucky targeted, actually had one commit. One was Nolan Hickman. Who were the other two? Do you remember the other two that John Calipari went heavily after then and went elsewhere?
Well, one's got to be the guy who went to Gonzaga. Nolan Hickman.
Hunter Salas.
The other one, yeah, Hunter
yeah,
Salas.
Hunter Salas.
Oh, I can't think of the other one.
Brandon Huntley Hatfield.
Oh, Alex Poitras' cousin. Right?
Alex Poitras' cousin. Yeah, he wasn't a guard, but he was a player that Cal targeted, went elsewhere. The two guards, the two point guards, Hunter Salas, number 16, Nolan Hickman, number 21. Huntley Hatfield, number 24. So what I'm saying is, as much consternation and freaking out there was over the point guard situation, and rightfully so. When Devin Askew dipped for Texas, and then when Nolan Hickman decommitted, Cal was in a very rough spot with point guards. He ended up better off. He's better off with Ty Washington than he would have been with Nolan Hickman. He's better off with Ty Washington than he would have been with Hunter Salas. They actually have Hunter Salas high. There are other recruit rankings that have Hunter Salas much lower than that, where Nolan Hickman is actually ahead of him. But the case in point here is all the freaking out that we did, all the worrying that we did, Cal was able to pull it together at the end and get his guy. And that happens more often than not. Ty Washington, to me, was a guy that may have saved Cal's bacon, because without him, your lead point guard right now would be Xavier Wheeler, who's nice. He's fine. I'm happy to have him. He's a good transfer. He's pretty high on all the recruit or the transfer rankings for the transfer portal, but he's not the Cal guy. Last year, Cal didn't have his guy either. Devin Askew wasn't going to be his first pick to run point for Kentucky. That guy was Cade Cunningham. That guy went to Oklahoma State. He was stuck. As the year progressed, it was apparent that Devin Askew couldn't do the job, and John Calipari was stuck, and we were all frustrated with that 9-16 team. There were no other options. Well, there was one other option in Davion Mintz. He didn't figure out till late. So now John Calipari not only salvages his point guard class with Ty Washington and then the later addition of Xavier Wheeler, he's got options out the you-know-what when it comes to guard. If there's one thing that you can say about Kentucky's recruiting or Kentucky's team right now, heavy on guards. And they might add another one. Did you see the latest thing, Mitch?
I did not.
Okay.
You've been much more online than I've been today, just FYI.
Okay, good. You've been a lot busier than I have. Because it was just you in process running around trying to make sure everything is flowing. Andy Sweeney sent this earlier. Andy Sweeney will be back on Monday. So he's dealing with some family stuff. And we may get a special appearance later on, okay? Follow Friday. Again, this is the second tweet that Kentucky basketball has put out with all the follower, all the teams, the guys on the team you should follow.
Yeah, the Follow Friday, right?
Follow Friday.
Yeah, there you go.
Davion Mintz is on it again. They put him on it. Now, I have a theory. I think, and tell me what you think about this, Mitch. I don't think Davion Mintz wanted to do all the offseason stuff.
Well, yeah, and he still has like weeks to decide.
He's got two.
Well, it's July 7th, right?
I thought it was July 7th or July 1st.
It's early July.
It's so early
he still
July.
He has a couple of weeks to decide. I mean, you may be right. I mean, I feel like he played this smarter than, you know, the other guys like Carleigh Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, let's see where I'm invited, whether it be the NBA Combine or the G League. He's G League, right? He got invited to the G League one.
Right.
Let's wait and see what I get invited to. Go through that kind of process, and then, I mean, I don't know why kids don't just wait till the last possible second to decide whether to come back or not, because,
right.
I mean, yeah, the schools have to move on like Kentucky did and grab all these guards, but they'll find a spot for Davion Mintz on that roster. They know he can contribute to that roster.
Yeah.
They know what he can do. I wouldn't be shocked if he comes back.
He'd be a starter on that roster. I think right now, Cal's talked a lot about, and we'll talk about this with John Hale when he joins us about 4:20. He talked to Ty Washington and some other guys, and one of the things that they brought up was how many guards are going to be playing this year, and Cal's going to be back to this three-guard lineup. So this overabundance of guards is going to work out pretty well, because if you think of the other three-guard lineups Calipari's had in the past, they fared fairly well. You think not last year, but the year before.
And that's where college basketball is kind of heading, too. I mean, you look at Baylor, who won a national championship. They had the three-guard lineup. The more successful teams, Gonzaga, they had a three-guard lineup.
Right. Two years ago, the COVID year, you had Tyrese Maxey, Emmanuel Quickly, Ashton Higgins, three-guard lineup, pretty good. Number one in the SEC, trending towards like a two or a three seed in the NCAA tournament, even though they got taken away. You had the three-guard lineup of Isaiah Briscoe, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Elite Eight, you know, shot at the end of the game from Luke Murray. Not Luke Murray. Oh, Luke May, to put a dagger in the hearts of Kentucky fans. And then before that, the previous year, he had Jamal Murray, Tyler Ulis, and Isaiah Briscoe again. Obviously, the big men on that team stunk, and they weren't able to do anything. But the guard dynamic was pretty damn good. So Calipari, if Davion Mintz comes back, he's got his NBA-style point guard in Ty Washington. He's got a scoring machine, we hope, fingers crossed, in Kellen Grady. And then you get the crafty veteran.
I always keep forgetting about Kellen Grady. I don't know why. He's just like, because he committed so early, he's just like in the back of my mind. That when every time someone brings him, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, Kellen yeah. Grady. And talking about him, David Cobb put out his most recent transfer. I mean, these transfer rankings are absurd because they had to add to it all the time. His latest transfer rankings, he actually had Kellen Grady above Oscar Tshiebwe, which that hadn't been the case up until just recently. He was like, I think Grady was like 14th and Tshiebwe was like 17th, something like that. But the point here is Cal's done the three-guard lineup before, and he's been very successful at it. I for one, am ready for this. I'm excited about this. When you get your NBA point guard, you get your crafty veteran and Davion Mintz, who's been with the program. You saw games where he really took over and played really well. Obviously, playing out of position as a point guard, he's more of a scoring two guard, was forcing the action there. And then Kellen Grady, coming from Davidson, being a knockdown shooter, a guy that can fill it up, average 17 points, freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year, very, very consistent. So I'm excited about this. It should be a lot of scoring. Definitely a step above what it was last year. Cal got caught with his pants down last year with Devin Askew after he whiffed on Cade Cunningham, was forced to play Askew, and he was a disaster. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. I wish the kid well.
And he had no depth at the position.
No depth. And now it's almost to a point where Cal's overloaded the position. He was so gun-shy of depth that he overloaded the position. And I'm fine with that. It's better to have more guys than not enough guys. I'm fine. And the texter brings up a good point. 437-9680, the UPS jobs text line here. Texter brings up a good point. How many guards will Kentucky actually play next year? How many of these Kentucky guards will transfer out? I mean, that's a great point, texter. I don't know. If Davion Mintz does come back, and all indications are that he is. I mean, that's how I feel.
I don't think many would transfer out because you got to think a lot of these guys are have been in college for Kellen Grady. This is his one year.
He ain't transferring out. No, he's not going anywhere. Yeah,
he has 1 year of eligibility left.
Right.
If Davion Mintz comes back, he has 1 year of eligibility left. CJ Frederick, he has a couple of years. Same thing with Sevier Wheeler. I mean, those guys are coming to play. I would be worried about those guys transferring, but I mean, half your guards. I mean, you have they're coming to Kentucky for this 1 year,
right,
to go win a title.
The one I would worry about, I don't know if worry is the right word or not, but the one I worry about is Dante Allen. I think if there's going to be a guy that feels, if Davion Mintz does come back, a guy that feels maybe his minutes are going to be shorter, if he's not going to get what he thinks he should get as his second full year at Kentucky. First year was injury, second full year at Kentucky, he feels like he may need more playing time, and he starts playing guys that are just here for, like you said, 1 year. Kellen Grady only 1 year, Sevier Wheeler only one. Actually, Sevier Wheeler's got more eligibility. He could stay next year if he wanted to.
Sevier and CJ Frederick are going to play at their respective schools for a couple years.
Exactly.
So they still got some couple years of eligibility left. I don't see those guys as 4 years guys. I see those guys coming to Kentucky, hoping to ball out, and then put their name in the draft and kind of see where that process kind of goes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see when it shakes out exactly what happens. So I don't know. I just found it interesting that we were all, me included, we were all freaking out about the point guard situation, and John Calipari actually ends up better than he would have if he would have gotten Hunter Salas or Nolan Hickman. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then, I mean, any thoughts on, I mean, you're,
I mean, the Nolan Hickman thing is going to be interesting because he went to Gonzaga. I mean,
oh, 100%.
If he's going to be the starting point guard there with, Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren and having those kind of guys to kind of play, I want to say play around with, almost made a mixtape there, to play with. I mean, yeah, he's going to, like, he'll probably come out the better guard like when it, compared to Ty Washington, just because he's playing at Gonzaga and he's playing San Francisco and he's playing Pacific and he's playing Pepperdine twice a year.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Portland. So. Yeah, he's playing schools like that. His number's going to be stupid. His number's going to be, as far as assists, I don't know if he's going a scoring guard or not, but he's going to be looked at as one of the better guards in America because of his surrounding class. And when you have another point guard in Hunter Salas on the court too with you, and that's something that I want to talk to John Hill about as well when we get him at 420, because he talks about specifically having two point guards on the floor at Kentucky. So it's an interesting discussion for sure. So we're not gonna have to wait too much longer for Davion Mintz's decision, and he knows what he's doing. I mean, I don't you feel like that he knows
I feel
what
like
he's doing
at
this
point at the process? Yeah, he knows what he's doing. I don't know if you can actually go through the combine process and then decide to come back. I'll have to look up the dates during the break. I know it's like July 7th or something.
It's either
like
the first or the seventh.
The final date where you got to decide whether you're going through the process or you're coming back. But yeah, I mean, this decision's coming soon. I mean, this is all, like we've been waiting on this decision for months. Carly Jones made his decision what? The Derby week, which was a month and a half ago.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah, I think he only has two options in my opinion. Well, three maybe. Come back to Kentucky, go overseas, or go the G League route. Those are his options, and you would think by now he knows what he's going to do. I just think that he was like, you know what, this is going to be my fifth year or sixth year in college, whatever it is, because he's a freebie because of COVID. He's like, I'm going to take the summer off. And it's not like he's just like lounging at the beach or something. I mean, he's working, he's practicing, he puts videos up all the time on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, yeah,
of him
sure he's
working
preparing
out
for the G League Combine.
And I don't think he's invited to the G League Combine. Because I know there's a G League Combine. I don't think he's even invited to that.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Is he? We'll have to look that up. I know Carly Jones was. I don't know about Davion Mintz. But, I mean, him being left out, I just think that he was like, I'm going to take it off. I don't want to do these camps. I don't want to do all this other stuff. I'm going to do my thing, take my time, relax a little bit. I can't blame him. The dude's been in college forever. I guess he's like, I'm going to be in there one more year. I'm going to get what I can out of my summer. All right, text in 437-9680 if you want to get in on the conversation with that. Mitch, any thoughts on, I'm not doing this to be mean, I'm asking you this question, any thoughts on number 81 Roosevelt Wheeler, number 83 Mike James? And this is only according to Sports Illustrated, so texters that are already coming over the hill at me, because you know I got one here, texter says, yeah, because ratings mean everything, Mr. Nine Wins Guy. You got me, Mr. Nine Wins Guy, because I was the one that was on the court playing. It was me.
It doesn't come to shock as me. I mean, that's where they are, like, according to 247 and Rivals. I mean,
right. They're in the same spot. But I feel like Louisville fans, especially, who do you think they expect more out of, Wheeler or James?
That's a great question, because I feel like both are going to get significant minutes.
Absolutely.
I feel like the five is of more of a position of need. So I would want to lean towards Roosevelt Wheeler, but man, people are hyping up Mike James.
They are, but I'm with you. I think it's Roosevelt Wheeler, because if Malik Williams' foot injury continues to be an issue, you need not only for Roosevelt Wheeler to be healthy, because remember, he's dealing with an Achilles issue. You need him to be healthy, and you need him to be damn good as a freshman. Because I know what people think about Gabe Wisnitzer around here. They love him, the big whiz. But, man, if Gabe Wisnitzer is your primary center, you're in trouble.
And Texter,
you're in big trouble.
Texter brings up a good point, and who knows? I mean, this could be the case, but Texter says Roosevelt would be 25 spots higher if he wasn't injured. Dude's a stud. I believe his high school season got derailed because of COVID, too.
Right.
I think in Virginia, like, they had either, like, a really shortened season where he couldn't play at all, or they just didn't have a season at all. So, I mean, he really didn't even get a chance to kind of prove himself to move up these kind of rankings. So, I mean, that could be the case. That couldn't be the case.
Early returns on Wheeler are good. I mean, Mac is very, very excited about that. I mean, he was on with Ennis, he was on with Diener, and I think both times Roosevelt Wheeler was a point of discussion. Texter says 437-9680. These UK guards are not near as good as those on other previous teams. I'm not arguing that. You're right about that. I mean, there's unless Ty Washington turns out to be just a straight baller. There's no Jamal Murray, Tyler Ulis. I mean, Isaiah Briscoe was kind of whatever. He's aight. I don't think of him as elite. But when you talk about Tyler Ulis, you talk about Jamal Murray, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, all studs. And then 2 years ago, Tyrese Maxey was a stud. Emmanuel Quickley was a stud. Ashton Higgins was, I put on the same level as Isaiah Briscoe, if that makes sense. I think they were fine college players. Obviously, their NBA careers were a big nothing burger. And both guys were, in some instances, more of a detriment to the team than helpful to the team. Texter says, let's see. I saw James in person. Dude has a stupid motor. What does that mean?
Stupid. He's got a stupid motor, bro. He can go 40 minutes a game.
Talking about Mike James. I thought it was me. I thought about me.
No.
Like, you saw me in person. I was like, when did you see me in person? How do you know about? I was confused by that text. Thank you, Mitch, for helping me out there. Texter says Louisville's going to be trash. Thank you. Yes. I don't think they're going to be trash, but, you know, watch those expectations. Texter says, here before we go to a break, do you think they opted to go to 12 teams for the college football playoff to also help cut down on players opting out of the bowl games? There's something to that. We talked about that.
That has to be for 9-3-9.
That has to be. We haven't touched college football.
1 second on the college football playoff. That texter had to be texting 9-3-9.
Had to be 9-3-9. Speaking of 9-3-9, I could go over there during this break and check out our buddy Mark Blankenbaker.
See how he's feeling.
I'm going to wave at
I told him today. I was like, you've had a hell of a week. You've been a star.
What'd he say?
He's like this cheating trivia. He's just being blank.
He's mad about that. If there's anything that he's mad about, it's the trivia thing. He's not mad at thinking about the kiss my ass Nick Rouse or being on KSR. It's the trivia, which I heard. I didn't hear it live, listeners. You know, I know the stereotype, but apparently Shannon the Dude from KSR took another swipe at blank, so I may have to try to go back and find that at some point. All right, 437-9680 is the text line. Keep rolling here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about Keetrell Clark's tweet about name, image, likeness, and I think it's very interesting. I want to see what Mitch thinks about it, too. 437-9680, I'm James Strebel. That's Mitchell Hannigan. It's The Take, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
Carly Jones needs to thank me.
Yes.
He needs to come and he needs to pat me on the back and shake my hand and say, thank you, Mr. Strebel, or Round Daddy, or whatever you want to call me. Thank you for talking junk about me because now I'm good at Louisville.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right. That's right, Carly Jones. Actually, good luck to Carly Jones, whatever he does. I mean, I was wrong about him as an individual player, but as I talked about this subject with Ethan Moore yesterday, in the end, was his legacy not making the tournament. So I was partially right. Thanks to George and the Bear Nose team for dropping off lunch to ESPN Louisville Studios. Thinking lunch or dinner? Bear Nose has you covered tonight and this weekend. All Bear Nose. Now delivering alcohol, still doing that. So if you want a tasty cold beverage to go along with your delicious pizza, Bear Nose has you hooked up. Carry out and delivery to your home. Support local businesses and local restaurants. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza. Now, Mitch, I know you saw this. I have a piece of Bear Nose Pizza here.
Oh yeah, you're crushing some.
This one piece I've been eating since right before the show, and I haven't finished it yet. I've got to eat it in like small increments. I can't finish the entire piece. I'll get sick. So I've been trying to. You know what it does? It helps me savor my food a little more. I guess that's what it is. But yeah, it takes me a little longer. There was a day, Mitch, where in between breaks, I would just be crushing two or three pieces at a time. I got Biggest Biscuit looking in at me. There he is. I had a good conversation with Mr. Biscuit here earlier today. I was lauding his efforts on the softball diamond as he had war wounds and he was bleeding from his knee and his elbow because he sells out, damn it. He's not part of this league just for bleeps and giggles. Biggest Biscuit is a competitor, damn it. And he gave his body to the gas bags. That he did. And here comes Mark. Mark Blankenbaker's walking around, too. I tell you what. There he is. There's Mark Blankenbaker. Oh, he walked away. He didn't look at me. That's okay. All right. 437-9680 is UPS Jobs Text Line. We're going to take a U.S. Open update here in about 10 minutes or so. Text line, just real quick, we're going to go through this. Perfect rejoin for this host. Yeah, it is. It was really good. Good job by Mitch. Texter says, Mintz did not get a D-League invite. I didn't think he did.
Yeah, I looked it up. He didn't. So I wonder now, just kind of to hop back into this conversation, I wonder now if his situation is almost kind of like a Jalen Duren and kind of seeing what, you know, if Mintz is weighing the option of, hey, going to play professional overseas to make some money, but if this, you know, name, image, and likeness bill gets passed here, you know, maybe soon, or is on in the process of getting passed soon.
That's a great point.
Maybe I go back to school to Kentucky and, you know, make some money there. So he might be in the same situation as Jalen Duren.
That's a
great point. I don't know. I mean, it could be a number of factors, but yeah, he did not get invited to the G League Combine. So, I mean, it seems like it's overseas or nothing for him.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point by you, Mitch. And honestly, after we do this and then what I'm going to do here about some Twitter stuff here, and after we take the U.S. Open update, I want to talk about name, image, likeness, and Keytrell Clark, Louisville football player, sending out a very interesting tweet last night. And we talked about it yesterday with Ethan Moore, Kentucky, the University of Kentucky, actually putting out kind of a plan and some guidelines of what they want to do with name, image, likeness, and obviously Calipari has signed off on that. So it feels like to me, Mitch, that these players and institutions and coaches are ready to move on this. You know, damn what the NCAA does, damn what the Kentucky legislature does. It feels like these players and coaches are ready to go with this NIL stuff, and I hope they do. And again, take the chance. What's the NCAA going to do? They know this is around the corner. Take the damn chance. And I applaud Keytrell Clark for what he tweeted last night. All right, speaking of tweets, I know you've seen this. The most sensitive fan from every Power 5 fan base. Now, this comes from the Twitter account of Big Game Boomer. Yeah. OU alum.
It's not serious. Like, this is like a serious like decision, right?
I don't know what it is. The guy's got 10,000 followers. He works for 247, or I don't know if he works for 247, but he's a 247 college football rankings expert. So this isn't like just some fan on Twitter. I mean, this is a, I don't know anything about Big Game Boomer, but it definitely seems like he has
a Twitter gas bag.
He's a Twitter gas bag that is associated with 247. So here's what this Twitter gas bag did. He compiled a list of the five most sensitive fan from every Power 5 fan base, okay? And I have to admit, I smiled when I saw Kentucky's. And for those of you that hadn't seen this, Kentucky's represented, as is Louisville. Kentucky's most sensitive fan is our guy. Well, I don't know if he's our guy. He's a guy that we talk about sometimes. Our guy, Just the Tip, Michael Bennett. At Just the Cats Radio has been ranked as the most sensitive fan from Kentucky on Twitter. Michigan's got the most, man. Michigan's got like 2, 4, 6, 8. Michigan's like 12 entries here.
It's just a joke because for Stanford, it says they don't have fans. So you just didn't choose one for Stanford. It says Stanford doesn't have fans.
Gotcha. I like that. Now, the Louisville one, I'm not familiar with. I have no idea. I didn't even look this Twitter account up. Mitch, you tell me if you know this Twitter account. I don't know. I had to look at it, I guess, during the break and see how sensitive this person is. At Planet Red 808613. You know that is going to be a sensitive ass Twitter account when they've got that many numbers in the handle.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is, but he probably hates me because of all Twitter.
Well, I'm sure this individual's been a terrorist towards me in the past. I guarantee he's called me fat, slobby, and stupid, and a redneck, and a hillbilly, and you know, all kinds of things. I'm sure Planet Red 808613. So I'm going to have to go back and look at this individual's tweets. I'm surprised it wasn't this individual on Twitter goes by CardKong41238910 or whatever. He's got a bunch of numbers in his handle. Again, if you want to know if a fan of a team is sensitive or not, count the numbers in the handle. If they have more than two or three numbers in the handle, they're sensitive. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. They're going to be ugly. They're going to be nasty. Those are the fans that do this thing, Mitch. If you don't like it, you're going to be a fan of the Cats. If you don't like it, you're going to be a fan of the Cards. That fan. The fan that likes to scold other fans and tell other fans how to fan. Like, if for example, if our guy Biscuit was on Twitter and he puts out a tweet that he's not happy about something Chris Mack did, okay? Which you know, Biscuit can do. He's a super fan, but he can be a little critical. And I keep using Biscuit as an example because I keep seeing him. One of these numerology Twitter accounts would be, well, hey, Biscuit, if you don't like Mack, you go cheer for Cal. Go cheer for Cal. How about that? You don't like the Cards. You're not ride or die L1C4. That's the Twitter account that you know is going to be awful. So here's what I want to ask the text line, 437-9680. Who do you think is the most sensitive fan on Twitter? Now, I don't want to know, like, some random guy or some random girl. I mean, these have to be names that we're familiar with. Twitter stars. Twitter all-stars. Twitter warriors, if you will. Twitter warriors. Who are some of the most sensitive in both fan bases, Kentucky and Louisville? If you want to throw IU in there, go ahead. None of us care about IU, but if you want to throw them in there, you can go ahead and do that. I mean, Western Kentucky does. I mean, I don't know. Does Western Kentucky have a Twitter following? I don't know. I don't know. But if you want to go ahead, 437-9680, go ahead and tell us some of your favorite sensitive Twitter fans. Mitch, do you have anyone that you want to suggest? I already did mine. CardKong42312117.
You put me on the spot here.
Oh, sorry. If you don't have anybody, I can read some text here real quick. We got text just rolling in right now. So think about that. I want the texters to think that out, too. Texters already rolling in. The U of L sheriff, hands down. Honestly, Mitch, I mean, I hate to say it. I thought it was going to be Mark. When I saw that, I thought it was going to be blank. I did. I was very severely disappointed that it's Planet Red 808613 and not Mark Blankenbaker. Texter says Kyle Tucker is okay. I can't read the rest of that. That wasn't very nice. Kyle Tucker's a nice guy.
Oh, you've opened up a
Pandora's box.
Door. Yeah, you've opened up a dark door here.
I have. I think that's great. What did KSR say about Blanken Cheater? Can you play it on air? I haven't heard it. I don't know. I have Twitter moles that send me DMs every once in a while and let me know what people are doing. So I just know that Shannon the Dude, actually Andy alerted me to that, I think. I think it was Andy that alerted me to that. Texter says, another Blankenbaker vote. Blankenbaker for U of L, also Blankenbaker for UK. Okay, so double dipping with Blankenbaker. All right, Texter says, every single U of L fan is going to text Matt Jones for U of L, and UK fans will say blank for U of L. That might be right. That may be right. Right now, Blankenbaker is the leader in the clubhouse. I haven't seen, you know, Matty Bangs, even though he's tweeted some bad news for Louisville, it hasn't been as snarky as it has been as in the past. I feel like he's kind of relented a little bit. He's growing nicer in his old age, Mitch. Maybe that's what it is. Texter says, can't Mintz also go to another college if he wants? Yeah, he can. Like I said, he's got a freebie going as far as where he wants to go. He can go. He can go. I think I'm being got here, so I'm not going to read this U of L Twitter name. I don't know if that's a real thing. I know that it could be a double entendre for something else. I'm not going to read that. Blankenbaker, the Louisville excuse maker.
I love that text.
That's great. Put that on, you know what? Put that on a t-shirt, Mitch.
Blankenbaker, the Louisville excuse maker.
Give that guy a t-shirt. Give that guy a V-show prize pack. Texter says, Bryson/Bruce is blank/round daddy. I don't know if that's referring to, but okay. I, if you want to say I'm sensitive, you can. I don't think, oh, the Cards all day guy. Oh, that's a good one. That's a Twitter Hall of Fame Louisville fan.
You're more
there.
Of a Twitter terrorist, man, than I am. So you probably have better, man, suggestions for me. I don't want to be like logging. Like, I check my mentions, but like I don't remember names, like, specifically of people who attack me personally on Twitter or see, you know, all over Twitter. I also just don't follow these accounts. So I mean, you probably have better suggestions.
This is hilarious. I was blocked from that guy like 5 years ago. It didn't take long at all. Texture says, Blank is the most sensitive, but the funny part is how he always insists that nothing bothers him. We all do that. I do that too. I'll come on. You guys hear me on a daily basis come on here. You know, that doesn't bother me that much. And then 5 seconds later, I'm yelling and screaming and throwing a fit. So I do the same thing as Blanky Break does. I say it doesn't bother me, but every once in a while, it does bother me. Texture says, that guy may be sensitive, but calling you fat, sloppy, and or redneck just prove he's honest, not sensitive. Touche. Thank you, Texture. Texture says, also another vote here. It's by far Ethan Moore for Louisville. He's not only a honk, but he talks too much about stupid crap like fashion as well. He's horribly annoying as a fan and a person. No, he's not. I like Ethan. Ethan and I are friends. That's fine if you think he's sensitive, but no. He's not that annoying. He really isn't. He's definitely not the worst Twitter handle out there for Louisville fans. So keep those rolling in, 437-9680. We're going to hit this U.S. Open update here shortly, Mitch. How many minutes here?
About a minute and a half.
About a minute and a half. Yeah, okay, so. We'll do that. On the other end of the U.S. Open update, I want to talk about Keytrell Clark and what he tweeted yesterday. And I saw another football player tweet the exact same thing. I think both are Louisville players. Haven't seen anything yet from Kentucky players in regards to this, but there definitely is a sense that these players are gearing up to make money this year, 2021, not next year, not the year after that. Players that are playing on these football and basketball teams this year are anticipating getting paid for their name, image, likeness. And I applaud it. I like it. But, I mean, it also opens the question, what's the fallout if it doesn't go through? What's the fallout if it does not go through? So we're going to talk about that when we get back. And I've got to find Keytrell Clark's exact tweet. So while we're following along this U.S. Open update, I'll be able to dig deep for that. So same time for the mixtape. Speaking of mixtape coming up, about 525 Hightower men's mixtape. Also, John Hill at 420. We'll talk some UK basketball, some UK football, and all kinds of good stuff with him. So keep the text rolling in. Having a good time today. It's a Friday here on The Take with Mitchell Hannigan and Justin Jeffries.
Don't worry, you got 15 more seconds.
No. I'm vamping pretty good. And Justin Jeffries is going to co-host with me today, but he got caught up at work. And if you're listening, big guy, no worries. We'll get together in the past or in the future. And I just want to say, if you're listening to me, Double J, right now, I get.
Let's give you a U.S. Open update.
Let's do that. I'll give you a U.S. Open update.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.